These podcasts are made available by MyPillow. You know, they've got the sandals available right now at MyPillow.com. And everybody asks me, are they as comfortable as the slippers? And I am here to tell you, oh, yes, they are. Because we know we love the slippers, right? Well, it's sandal season. And I am telling you, get online, go to MyPillow.com and order your sandals. And while you're there, take a look at all of the other great products they have. I've got the Giza sheets that even now, a year and a half later, are still like they were the very first day I put them on the bed. My dog's bed is fabulous. He loves sleeping on it because just as much as you love sleeping on the pillows, your dog is going to love the MyPillow dog bed. MyPillow.com, but promo code ROSE if you want great savings on any of those items. Promo code ROSE at MyPillow.com. Joining me today is an author and this really cool lady. Okay, I just want to tell you, when she walked through the door, I'm like, I love her style. She had 30 years as a job search expert, executive coach, human resources consultant, newspaper columnist, and public speaker. And she says she gladly traded in her high heels and leather briefcase to achieve her dream of being a women's fiction author. Her name is Chris Posty, and she's joining us today. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm terrific, especially after that great introduction. Thank you, Rose. It's wonderful to be here.
Thanks. You know, I was thinking when I was reading your blog and you talked about trading in the high heels, I'm like, I've already done it, girl. I'm like, I've got tennis shoes on today with a skirt, okay? That's how I'm doing it from now on. Feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And why not?
And I wore high heels. So, all right, so let's talk about, you know, one of the things that I really liked, you've got two books, right? One is called Falling Apart, Falling for You. That's your novel. That's your fiction novel. And then you wrote Before You Write Your Novel. So you wanted to give tips to others because a lot of people say, oh, I really feel like I have a story in me, but they don't know how to start.
Well, yes, when I wrote that novel, I thought, well, I wrote a newspaper column for 20 years.
Wow.
I wrote nonfiction books, several of them. I thought, how difficult could this be? Oh, very is the answer. And I learned not just about the craft. I'm not talking about the craft of novel writing, which is a whole separate topic. And believe me, that's very complex. But all of the things that you need to know that will enable you to be successful as a writer of a novel or any kind of book for that matter. So while everything was fresh in my mind, I wrote it down and I wrote a real quick companion book to my novel.
Did you? I love that. In fact, I would love to have you on again and talk just about that because there are a lot of people out there now with self-publications and so forth, or even just the internet. You can just put it up there on a website or something. So I think we should do a podcast on that. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about something I had read on your page, which is chrisposty.com.
Right.
And it's P-O-S-T-I, by the way, for everyone out there. You know, you talked about friendship. Now, you were talking about now in your retirement years how important friendship is. But let's just go back a little because we have an audience of younger women all the way up to our age. And those young women, I'm thinking right now, late teens, early 20s, getting out of high school, going into college perhaps, or into a job, why is it important that they establish some deep friendships? And what kind of friends should they be looking for at that time in their life?
That's a big question,
It is
Rose.
A big question.
But let me emphasize, there is nothing more important you can do when you are starting your career than building relationships with men and women, whether those people are mentors, the people you work with on your team, the people that report to you, etc. You want to develop strong friendships. I can't tell you how many times over the course of working with so many employers, when they were making decisions on who got promoted, who got fired, etc., it often related to how well that person interacted with other people above them, across from them, and below them on the org chart. So you definitely want to have relationships at work, not to use people, but to be a resource to one another, to be a support. Knowledge, company history, how do we do this? Where do you find that? And then pass that information along. Because sometimes those people you pass the information along to end up getting promoted ahead of you. Or they're in a department where you need some favor.
And let's talk about why some friendships, though, at that age need to be based on things that you share, things that you have in common with one another, because there's different levels of friendship. Like you just said, I mean, they can help you in the workplace and you can help them. But then if you, after a long day at work and you go home and you want to pick up the phone and call your friend, who should that friend be? Mm-hmm. Someone that shares what?
Well, you want to have shared experiences. That is usually the foundation for a good friendship, a solid friendship. So maybe it's someone you know from your church. Maybe you haven't been to church for a while, but when you were younger, you were in youth group with someone else. So call on people that you have things in common with. Maybe you have a hobby that you share. You both enjoy sewing or walking or yoga. And so, people always say, oh, it's so hard to make friends. Not really. If you think about what your goals are for friendships, then you know where to reach out and form those friendships. And, today everybody is so busy that if you just reach out and make time and listen to that person, ask them questions, be curious about them and their life, then a bond is formed.
And I want to talk about that too, because it's so important, and I would encourage anyone in their 20s, I just recently lost a friend of mine that I had been friends with since my early 20s. Oh. And there is something that's so very important about having a history with someone. So we went through all of those years together so that she could say, Rose, no, that's not true, Rose. I remember back then, this is what happened. Or they'll remind you of certain achievements or certain ways you got through something, how you struggled with something, but how you found victory in that struggle and how God has brought you through different experiences. So having someone, so I would encourage young people to look for that person that you can go the whole journey with. Now, there are going to be friends that come and go because there are different times in your life that you require different things and they require different things out of a relationship and a friendship. But to have that, even just one person that you look at and you just, is this someone I want to invest enough in?
Yes.
That we can make this whole journey together?
Yes.
And there's something beautiful about that.
There is. But, often you do lose those people. They might die. They might relocate. And
right.
Say what you might about Zoom, it's just not the same as sitting down over a cup of coffee or a glass of wine.
Not at all.
So, you want to attempt that,
right.
But if you fail at that or something happens to ruin that relationship, don't think it's because of you. Instead, think who else could fill that void. And I'll give you an example. I chaired my 45th high school reunion. Now, we hadn't gotten together for years, and I'd been living out of the country, across the country, and so I had completely lost touch with all of my high school friends. And this was so great for me to reconnect. And here's the funny thing, Rose. The people that I really connected with at a deep level were not my friends in high school.
I've experienced that. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so because you have that common bond of a high school or a college or whatever it may have been experience, you can build on that, and that makes for a friend as you age.
You will evolve; your friendships will evolve, or they may change drastically, or you may not even become. I look back and I think, whatever happened to that friend? Why did we? It was nothing that happened. There wasn't an incident.
Yes.
It's just that we grew apart, and as your life goes into a different direction, then from your 20s and you're thinking about getting married and then thinking about having children perhaps, or thinking about being a career woman and not doing any of the other things. But your life does change at some point.
Yes, and especially for younger people, younger women, there's a great divide that can occur when one of the two friends gets married and the other one is still single.
True.
And may remain single.
That's right.
And so you have to work a little bit harder and be a little bit more understanding of the other one's schedule than you did before, because you can't pick up and say, hey, it's Friday night, let's go out and have a drink. No,
right.
You're not going to be doing that anymore. And mom's going to want to stay home, or the wife's going to want to stay home, probably have kids to take care of. So everything changes, but that doesn't mean you can't meet after church on Sunday and have a cup of coffee together.
That's right. You can make that time and still have, I have a friend that's been in my life since the early 20s, another friend, and she's remained single all of her life. No children, no husband. There have been times where it was maybe a little rocky because maybe it was hard for her because I was having a child, but we stuck through it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, too, with that is that in this case, we were both very strong Christians, and we have encouraged one another for over 30 years, just encouraging. And that's my first go-to person when I need that encouragement, when I know she's going to give me what I need to hear. She's not going to lie to me. She's going to tell me the truth, but I know she'll pray for me. I know that she'll give me sound scriptural advice.
Yes.
And that's what I want. And I think that's what we have to decide too, or understand, is that different friendships will allow us certain things or different things, and that's okay. A benefit. They are great. And some will say, let me ask you this, Chris. Some will say, you know, you should find some friends. Let's say you're a Christian and you're really, you know, working towards just cementing that faith into your life. And a lot of times you'll find that the people that you're surrounded with, you're teaching them or helping them. They may be your same age, but you seem to be the one that you're the mentor.
Right.
And I want to encourage women not to forget that you too need someone who will mentor you. You too need someone who can build you up, encourage you, and to give you some wisdom on things that you may not have. So you need to have both. You can't have just one and not the other.
Yes, this is a place where diversity really does matter. You want to have people who are older than you, younger than you, who are in a different financial situation from you, whether they have more money or less money. They might have a different political perspective from you. Maybe they go to a different church. Maybe they don't go to church at all. I have a lot of friends who are not Christians. I want to make sure we can relate at some level. Otherwise, how can I ever be a good witness to them? So you want to stretch yourself. And one of the ways you can stretch yourself is by finding women who are older or younger than you. You want to learn from those who are older than you. For the most part, it goes that way. But also, you want to pass things along to the younger generation. They don't know necessarily to reach out to you. So I think it's incumbent upon us as we get older to reach out to younger people and help them in any way we can, support them and encourage them. Key word, you said it before, Rose, encouragement. We never seem to get enough of that in this world. We're all too busy to stop and encourage people in whatever direction they're going, even if it ends up being the wrong choice. The fact that they took the step toward that, they grow and they learn as a result of that.
And you need to be there to support them as well. You know, and it's interesting you talked about having a younger friend. I do have a young lady who is younger, quite a bit younger. And believe it or not, and I'm sure you will believe it actually, Chris, she is someone who has taught me. She's still I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. You know, she may come to me with a scripture and say, you know, I was reading this today. And I want to tell you something else too, Chris, that I've discovered, that I will ask my friends now, what can we pray for today for you? Mm-hmm. And I never used to do that, where I would say to them, okay, I'll pray for you. And I have every intention to do so. And most of the time I do. And sometimes I forget, but why not pray with them? So I found myself now, before I hang up or if they tell me they're going through something, I'm like, let's pray together right now. Let's just do it. And if I'm the only one who does it, sometimes I am, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't need them to pray for me. I need to pray for them. I think that in this day and age, it's so hard for especially young women to find women they can trust. These are crazy times right now. You know, I interviewed Dr. Ayers from Grove City College. And we were talking about Gen Z and even millennials, and they all have struggles right now. They have struggles that really we didn't have. We were very fortunate. Mm-hmm. But what they're going through, I mean, they're looking at unrest in the world. There's wars and rumors of wars, right, going on. The economy is very difficult right now for any young person to actually go out on their own and establish themselves. It's not as easy for them as it perhaps was for us, or even for a generation or two before them, one generation before them. So when you think about that and you're looking for a friend, you want to, it's going to be hard because they are so accustomed. You brought up social media earlier and Zoom and all those things. They live, for the most part, a solitary life. Now, they may say, I have all these friends on Twitter, Instagram, and so forth, but they're really still living a solitary life because it's really just them and their phone. And somehow we need to encourage them to go beyond the phone and to trust, because trust is a big issue, I think, right now for the younger people and for women in general.
Yes, that's true. A couple of things. When people live so much of their lives on social media, we're not going to change that. That's the way it is.
That's right.
So we need to make sure we are doing what we should be doing appropriately on social media, which is always being kind, not making snarky comments, not ignoring the person's new selfie when we know they're expecting us to comment on it.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, so that's how we can encourage people, not just liking necessarily, but making a comment.
I like that. I like that.
So with social media, that's really important. And, you know, we want to surround ourselves with the right people, because bad company corrupts character.
That's right.
So make a conscious decision, especially when you're young, because in college especially, you know, the pressures just must be enormous to do everything you shouldn't be doing. So set yourself up with Christian organization on campus, Christian friends, people who share your values, people who will encourage you, but also tell you when you're getting out of line, keep you accountable.
That's right. That's right. And I think it's okay if you are establishing a friendship and you discover that, I don't think this is quite right for me, or if you're not comfortable with the relationship, it's okay. You can move on. It is okay to move on. And sometimes it's better to move on than stay in something that could become toxic or you're just not comfortable in. So I think it's all right to move on. That's always a tough one, though, isn't it? How do we move on? But you really do need to always evaluate, I think, where you are in your friendship. And I think in the initial stages of a friendship, before you become too open with that person, that you really do have to explore who that person is and make sure that you feel safe with them and that your secrets feel safe with them. And I think that, you know, a lot of times we just jump into things and we think, oh, you know, I just went too fast too soon. And I think that you need to really take the time and just evaluate each person. It doesn't mean they could be this ranking as a friendship while you still need a ranking a little higher or maybe another one even lower. But you can rank your friendships and you decide and you determine how much you're going to share at each level, right? They don't all have to know every bit of your business.
Yeah, they're not going to all be your therapy sessions.
That's right.
That's reserved for the really special ones right at the top.
Reserved for the special ones and a special bottle of red, is what I say. But let's talk about what you wrote on your site. You were talking about, now that you've retired, you have found that you need another, you're looking at friendship maybe in a different way right now.
Yes.
Let's talk about that for those women out there who are looking at retirement or who have just recently retired.
Well, you know how it is when you retire from a job, you walk out the door and you think, oh, those people love me. Look at the gold watch they gave me, the party they gave me, whatever. And you think, oh, I can call them up and say, hey, want to have lunch next week? And nobody returns the call.
Out of sight, out of mind. I mean, like,
you know, whatever,
like
you have,
Chris, we tolerated you, you know, because we had you. You were working with us. Now you're gone. Okay. No, yeah, but they do have a life.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you're not part of it anymore.
That's it. Yeah.
There might be one,
that's okay,
or maybe two that you'll stay in touch with loosely. But generally speaking, that is it for most people. And during the pandemic, I felt a need to reach out to other women because I decided to segue into retirement, although I did write my novel and the other book, and I've been, you know, doing public speaking regarding that, etc. I've really lost a lot of my friends, and so that I used to see,
yes,
here and there at networking,
right,
events, etc., clients. So instead, I reached out on nextdoor.com, you know, the social media site for your neighborhood, and I said, I'm looking for women who are retired, semi-retired, or self-employed, who have flexible schedules, who would like to get together for socializing, physical activities like walking, golfing. Within 48 hours, I had 62 women saying, yes, sign me up.
Oh, that's wonderful. That was a great idea.
Well, I had to pull the plug on it because I was overwhelmed. And we met 3 times a week at different parks in the area. We formed a golf group, just a little golf group, a book club. Some of them got into gardening. Others started pickleball. Who's not doing pickleball?
Me, because I'm afraid I'm going to fall or get hurt. So, but anyway.
And, you know, various social events, lunches. And that's been a wonderful group. So, you know, you have to sometimes be a little creative in reaching out
and
say,
that was smart.
I need a whole pool of new friends to pull from. And of course, out of that group of 62, some of them never showed up. And I've become friends with a small group of them. And I hope it just continues forever.
What have you noticed in terms of friendship? How are your friendships different now at this time in your life than they were at other times?
Well, don't you remember years ago, we would pick up the telephone, not the cell phone, the telephone.
That's right.
And call one another. And we would talk for an hour. And we do that very rarely now. But I have to tell you, Rose, this is one of my favorite things to do, is just occasionally pick up the phone and call somebody and say, did I catch you at a good time? I was just thinking of you, wanted to reach out and say hello. Oh, my gosh. It is so wonderful. I guarantee you, if that person is available, they will be on the phone with you for at least a half an hour to an hour.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting? It seems that nowadays, I was just thinking about this the other day, that I find myself and others texting each other, asking when is a good time to talk. You know, it's weird. Things have changed so much. When we did at one point just pick up the phone and call.
Yes.
But everyone is so busy these days. And yeah, it's just taking on a whole new dynamic. What you get out of friendship now at this time is a little different. What do you expect out of a friendship with other women?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think support is the probably, as we age, more important than encouragement. We know who we are. We have a friend probably or two or maybe a spouse, whoever, our own children who encourage us. But it's more like support. And I'm thinking of two women I know in the past year who have had foot surgery. And they're both married, but and they could call up Giant Eagle or whoever and, you know, ask for food to be shipped to their house. But I would instead say, I'm going to Aldi's. I'm going to Giant Eagle. Do you need anything? And sometimes they would say, no, I'm good. But other times they'd say, oh, my gosh, we're almost out of eggs. And it was just a wonderful thing to be able to be helpful to people in need.
You know, I think that you bring up something really interesting, and that is that no matter what age group we are, and what age group our friends are in, I think it's important that we do that kind of thing. I always try to be watching out for a neighbor. And I know and one neighbor had to take his sister that was living with him to the hospital. And so I ran out and got food, you know, a whole dinner for them for that night. I think that's something that used to be done all the time. And I think that there's something so unique about it that if we do that, we're probably surprising people
because
I don't think it's actually happening like it should. But isn't that a wonderful way to establish friendships or just to be kind? Mm-hmm. You know, do you look around and see the need or pay attention and think, okay, they've got a surgery that day or they have a hard day with the kids or they couldn't find a babysitter. You know, just try to think, how can I help that neighbor, that friend in a way that, you know, they won't even expect.
Yes.
Help.
And if you watch their posts on social media, sometimes you'll get a clue.
So you're using social media for good and not for evil. I love it.
I use AI for good and not for evil,
too. There you go. Yeah. But not everybody will. So there you go. Well, Chris, I have to say it was a pleasure having you on today. ChrisPosty.com. That's where you can find out a lot more about Chris. And she's got her blogs up there. But also, she makes available her books. And they are Falling Apart, Falling for You, and Before You Write Your Novel. So thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate that.
My pleasure, Rose. Thank you.
Thank you.